We'll go rural in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the semi-rural Arkansas studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with another rain report. So often it seems one hears about ham radio attorneys going up against big city politics. But what is it like to deal with rural municipalities? Kevin Kaufhold, W9GKA, knows.
My name's Kevin Kaufhold, and my call sign is W9GKA. On the radio side, I've been a member appointed from the Central Division to the VUAC in years past, participated in that process. I've also been involved heavily in VHF contesting activities. I've spoken here at Dayton as well as several other VHF conferences around the country and have published in QST on statistical modeling of VHF activities, FFMA and distance scoring, all those kinds of things I've done on the radio side. On the law side, I've been in the private practice of law for 35 years in the state of Illinois. I'm licensed in the Illinois Supreme Court in the 7th District, and I have filed two certs to the U.S. Supreme Court, both of which were denied. This is a nitty-gritty, down-the-dirt kind of case study on how things develop. Is Mark here? Mark Theobald, I know he was going to try to make it the applicant in this case. I don't think he is. We had a situation where the amateur radio operator lived in a small little town in rural Illinois, had no cable television access points, so everybody was on the air. He was on 6 meters and 2 meters. He did run 600 watts on 2 meters. As you can imagine, he ran a lot of TVI problems in town, a lot of complaints. Now, he had a tower installation up. It was never approved by anybody. He just put it up. The village board didn't care. Until the TVI came into town, and then they told him he's got to take it down, and that's when he contacted me. We applied formally through the zoning board process of the village, all the while telling the village board, educating the village board, that TVI is within the exclusive jurisdiction of the FCC. They cannot do anything about it, and the PRB1 is also in effect, and we have limited preemption on that, so we fully expect the zoning board to approve two separate towers. The TV mast, it's a TV antenna off to the side, and then 25-30-foot tower that he had pre-existing, he asked for and received a zoning board approval for 40 feet and 70 feet. The critical nature of this installation is that he's practically the only amateur in this particular county with 2-meter capability, and he was part of the local emergency Aries net that would communicate on 2 meters to the next county above it, up some 50 miles away, on 2 meters every week, and that's a net that is inside the 911 facility in St. Clair County, and I'm the attorney for the 911 board in that county as well. So we submitted a ton of evidence in the zoning board case showing that he needed 2 meters, he needed the extra height, he needed the power. They grudgingly gave permission within very tight constraints. Part of it was because we did educate them on the TVI problem within the exclusive jurisdiction of the FCC, and we also educated them on the limited preemption nature or PRB1, all the while I was threatening to take him to federal court if they would rule against my guy. We did go through the process. I've had other amateurs where we've refused to go through the process and we've just dared them to sue us because it is so tilted. With this one, we wanted some kind of decision in which they would either tilt against us or for us. If they tilted against us on TVI complaints or on tower, then we could remove it immediately to federal court. But the problem with limited nature preemption is that the state authorities do have a reasonable right to know about what kind of things you're going to dig in the ground, how much concrete you're going to put in. They do have a right to have engineering seals, that kind of thing. So you have to play a little bit. We're hoping at some point that they make a fatal flaw and we can remove it into federal court. In this case, we didn't have to get that far initially because they granted the permission. Strict construction, though, to 1 year. They said you have to finish this baby in 1 year and not a day more. The real reason why they granted this was because in the same town, this was three smokestack 650 feet high. That building is 300 feet high. My client only wanted 70 feet high. It does not even come up to the very top of the first set of windows that you see. You can see that from St. Clair County, some 50 miles away. 650 feet is almost as high as the St. Louis Arch, which you can see both of these on a good day from my county. Also, there was a 200-foot cell tower nearby. Those kinds of things weighed in our favor, and they felt the need to give us, but they really did not want to give us the permit, and they said, you got 1 year complete, and that's it. Well, the next thing that happened is an emergency occurred. My client's mother grew very ill, ultimately died inside that 1 year, and we did not finish the tower inside the 1 year. We did finish the tower, but not the intent of construction. So life goes on, and he finished after the year. Nothing was really said for a long time. I closed the file completely. I mean, it was another year or so before we got another TVI complaint, and magically, mysteriously, we get this ordinance violation thrown at us in the mail saying you're in violation, and we demand that both towers be removed immediately. At one point, the village thought that we had three towers in the air, the one TV antenna at 20 feet, as well as the two towers that were constructed. Now, mind you, the two towers that we were constructing were out in the middle of the yard in a side lot in exactly the location that the permit was authorized for, exactly the height, but they somehow thought we were constructing three towers. So they took us to court in state court, not federal court, because this is an ordinance violation.
You're listening to a 2016 Dayton Hamvention Talk voiced by Illinois lawyer Kevin Kaufhold, K9GKA, who found his dealings with a rural Illinois zoning board more of a challenge than one might expect. We'll hear the rest of Kevin's story in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available 24/7 on therainreport.com, on Twitter at #TheRainReport, and somewhere in iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Now, the day of the trial, you got to understand there's literally 50 people in this courtroom, not for us, but for traffic tickets. All right, that's the way St. Clair County runs, and most county courts around the nation runs. This is actually in Randolph County, in the same circuit as St. Clair County. And the judge is signing off orders while we're presenting testimony, and it's very common that you have to literally stop to make a point, wait until the judge listens to you, and then go ahead again because he's not listening. It's all on the record, but this is how these cases are tried. This is the level of a misdemeanor or an ordinance violation, a dog barking case. That's what this is. I mean, that's how they tried this case at the same level. Of course, we had media present. And imagine a dog barking case having media present. Well, we had media present, and they completely contradicted themselves, saying that you're trying to put up three towers instead of two, when we said we are presenting evidence to show the exact location and the exact height, and that third tower doesn't even exist. We'll take it down. We've always said it's not even a tower. It's a TV mast. So the judge didn't know what to do. We presented evidence to show that we could not comply with the 1 year. We asked for an extension of time, although we asked for the extension of time after the 1 year, and the city said, absolutely no way, you're not going to get that. You have to apply before the 1 year expiration period. So we told the judge, look, we would be willing to spend $250 to apply for an extension, but they won't even take our money. So the judge thought, you know, that was substantial evidence, substantial compliance, a good faith effort on our part to show that we were trying to comply, that we did build the two towers in the exact location at the exact height, that the third thing didn't even count, or the city, and the good reasons were shown for going beyond the time permit. But then he saw the press there, and he had just ruled against this village the week before on another dog bite case or another animal case, an ordinance violation, and two times in Week is a bit controversial for rural Illinois. You could see his head turning back and forth. And then I said, by the way, we have a mini PRB1 in Illinois. And he said, what's that? And I said, well, it's just like the federal law, except at the state. Was not impressed when I said federal. This is a state judge. But I said, Judge, the state law specifically requires that the amateur radio installation be allowed as to the placement, screening, height of antennas, and height supporting structure with some caveats, and we've complied with the caveats, and I cited 65 ILCS 511-313-15. It's even better than the federal PRB1. It's not so limited. It's mandatory. There's no limitations. There are some caveats to this on a reasonable basis, but other than that, it's much better than the real PRB1 at the federal level. We improved the PRB1 at the state level, so we won the case, and he ruled in our favor. I would suggest, really, not only to my client, but to all of you in the room, here's the do's and don'ts in 8 minutes flat on this kind of subject when you're down the dirt. You know, it's fine that the ARRL talks about going to Congress. You know, I went to law school in D.C. at Georgetown 35 years ago, and since then, I've been down the dirt trying these cases, and this is what happens. You get the best you can in Congress, and this is how it plays out in the sticks. So I would suggest that you don't try to build anything until you get zoning authorizations, even if they don't object, which is the case here, because they'll come back and haunt you. That you build within the authorized timelines, you strictly comply with those, and if you can't, that you try to get the extension, at least to make the good faith effort, even if they won't take your money, tender the money for the extension before the expiration. Really hammer on those state PRBs. If you don't have a mini PRB, I would highly suggest lobbying at the state level. We do in Illinois, thanks to the Central Division ARRL, and Dick W9GIG really was hammering on that many years ago. And we obtained that in Illinois and improved it over the federal version. And you need to continue to educate these public officials at the local level, not just state level, but at the local level on these federal issues of TVI compliance. TVI is not within PRB1. That's absolutely preempted under federal law, with or without PRB1. They have no jurisdiction at the state level whatsoever to handle TVI complaints. If we would have lost, I would have removed it to federal court and then argued within 30 days and argued 1983, essentially a civil rights action violation in federal court, arguing that they have violated my client's civil rights. I have to argue something to get into federal court, so that's the way to go. And then to mention the full federal PRB1, my last suggestion is hire a good attorney.
And that concludes a revealing look at the Zoning Board politics Illinois attorney Kevin Kaufhold, W9GKA, faced in rural Illinois, defending Mark Theobald, no call given, one of the only hams in his rural southern Illinois county. Kevin's talk was given during the Amateur Radio and the Law Forum at the 2016 Dayton Hamvention. The Rain Report is copyright 1990. 2016 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now, for all those affiliated with these Rain reports, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, accessible anytime on therainreport.com via hashtag TheRainReport on Twitter, when Hap can get his Twitter client to function properly, and via iTunes.